Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing about racism within the National Hockey League. We've heard about incidents of bullying and intimidation, people afraid to speak out at the time for fear that their careers would be sidetracked by the coaches or managers or whomever on that league was basically in control of their future. Well, the NHL has announced a new code of conduct. A quick listen now to something that Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the league, had to say.
We will focus the programming on trainings and other exercises and initiatives to ensure respectful locker rooms, training facilities, games, and all other hockey-related activities, and teach to ensure bystander intervention techniques, anti-harassment, anti-hazing, non-retaliation, and anti-bullying best practices.
So that is Gary Bettman. He also said basically that there's going to be a zero tolerance on this, that if something happens and it's not reported either to him or somebody in the front office of the commission, that there will be repercussions. We wanted to get a bit of a closer look at what it's like to have gone through the ranks of the NHL. Terry Ryan is here now. He's, of course, from this province, has played in the NHL, was drafted a few years back, and is now a podcast host, an author. He's done some acting, but is also still very active in terms of hockey circles and keeps in touch with folks about it. Morning, Terry. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, guys.
Okay, so, you know, a couple of weeks ago when this broke, it's almost kind of like the Me Too movement of hockey, where, you know, a bunch of tough guys are all of a sudden speaking out about how they felt intimidated. This is kind of an unusual. Is this unusual, or are you surprised or not?
It's hit and miss. I'm surprised, I guess, that so much is coming up. Like, it was no surprise. For example, I had Michelle Therrien, really. If you know, a lot of people are asking me, you know, why don't you come out? Well, I did. I had a book about it. Patrick O'Sullivan talked about Mark Crawford, I believe, and Mike Babcock 5 years ago in a book. Like, this information was out there. I get it now that, you know, it's coming to light and the pendulum's swinging the other way, and it should have. But I want to make clear that what you're hearing about, there's four, five, six, maybe, like, you know, these coaches that you hear, I knew about all this, and they were jerks then, and they're jerks now. And what Bill Peters said, you know, in the dressing room, you can look it up. I don't want to repeat it right now, but that was a bad thing to say at any point, and it's terrible that it's coming out now, but we need it to happen. But, you know, there's a... For me, for example, Fred, I didn't like Michelle Therrien at all. I often tell the story about how I got called in. My first meeting with him, I went into the dressing room. He called me into his room from my dressing room. Went in, he sat me about 15 feet away from his desk, and he just lit up a cigarette, and he didn't say a word, and he just looked me in the eye, and you know, maybe a minute in, I realized what's going on. He's trying to break me. So I just didn't say a word. I looked him right back in the pupil the whole time. I said, if he's going to make it awkward for me, I'll make it awkward for him. And I stared right into his pupil. And he finished the smoke right down to the butt, and he put it out, and he said, get the F out of my office. And that was his first meeting. Now, was that harsh? Unbelievably. His tactic, his reasoning was, I guess, I'm going to, you know, treat this. I'm going to be a dictator. I'm going to try to intimidate young people, whatever.
How old were you at the time?
I was 20, turning 21. It was my first year in the American Hockey League. And, you know, you'd argue whether he got to me because I was a first-round pick. Now, that year I had 34 fights. I led the American League. And you know, if you watch me play, I'm a middleweight. I really didn't go out there. I wasn't mad for a lot of them. But I knew I had to do that under him. Now, you know, am I going to come out and accuse is the wrong word. I don't really need to bring it to light anymore. I did for years. I'm not going to say nobody listened, but, you know, it's good. The other thing is that I didn't react to that very well. I asked for a trade, and I didn't get it. And I held out of the Montreal system, and I ended up getting traded to Dallas after a couple of years of real bad communication. And I busted my ankle. Now, am I going to blame it on Michelle Therrien? Not really. You know, there's guys like Aaron Asham that reacted differently and made it. And, you know, I certainly don't feel good about it. But I got a great life. You know, I can't really complain.
But would your career have been different, do you think, if that incident
maybe
with Michelle Therrien hadn't
maybe
took place in the office where you felt intimidated?
No, that incident, for sure not. That was just one of many. I mean, he smoked on the bus. So I remember we played here against the St. John's Leafs. He's spitting back up Francis Larrivee's face, and we had to – I mean, this is all public. He got in an altercation with Mark Dalyell in a bar. I mean, he was both of them, I think, were charged or whatever happened. It wasn't good. They got in an altercation in a bar. So this wasn't new for Michel Therrien, and everybody kind of knew it. It was just a different culture at the time that allowed it to happen. But again, he was like, I would tell those stories at the time and they would stand out. Michel Therrien didn't represent the era. He was a jerk then. Right? Now, I don't know if he is now. Maybe he learned from it. That's the other thing. It's years later. I've heard some decent things about him. I'm not going to sit here and throw daggers. At the time, maybe I should have been more vocal to Rajan Houle, who was the GM or whatever. But I told you those stories.
But if you had spoken to Rajan Houle, would that have impacted your career? Would they
maybe
have sent you down to the minors? And you sat there intimidated.
Maybe so. Yeah, it could have happened. But, you know, there was a few. I got to be honest. I don't look at it. And like, I should have gone back to camp. I was a first round pick. I still knew that. And I made the wrong decisions.
Why is it taking the league this long and Gary Bettman to step up?
I think
folks like yourself have written about this and others have talked about what jerks these guys are, how intimidating it is.
Harold Druckin had a real bad time too, by the way. I'll always use this
He's
example.
Spoken about that about Mark Crawford.
Harold Druckin had 15 goals in 50-something games that year. Like, this was insane. The last two, Druk scored his 14th and 15th goal in the last game of the Canucks season, and he tied up the game that they needed to win and won it to get them into the playoffs. That was his 15th goal of the year. Again, he missed like 30. He would have had 20 goals as a rookie, and he didn't play anymore. And he told me that for years as well. He was pretty vocal about it. I mean, he didn't call in the radio, but Mark Crawford didn't give him a good deal. I knew that Crawford called him a stupid newfie. I knew that 20 years ago. Me and Drukes would talk about it. Now, for every one of those stories, though, and I'm not trying to stick up for these guys. I'm giving you the devil's advocate. Mike Babcock is the reason that Danny Cleary's Danny Cleary. Like, he was on his way over to Europe. I remember talking to Danny. He Chicago cut him loose, Edmonton, Phoenix, I believe. And, you know, we were talking in the summertime. And Babcock's one of those guys that if you work hard, his methods are absolutely barbaric, and he's a jerk. But I don't know if I put him in the same category as Peters. I don't know if he's a racist. And, you know, Cleary, again, we know the story. He went on to Detroit. I believe he walked on the camp, and he ended up making the team. So there are people that succeeded under that. Now, is it to be celebrated? No, it's not. But they were jerks then, and people knew it.
So why is it taking the league so long to step up?
I think just like the Me Too movement, you'd ask all those women the same thing.
People aren't just willing to take this anymore.
I think so. And then once one or two people do, that's why Akeem Alou, is that his name? The guy?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's why, you know.
The Nigerian player?
Yeah, people like that, you know, they break the box open, right? And there's one gay player, I can't remember his name now. There will be more and more, right? And 20 years ago, that would have seemed crazy to even think about. But why? Why? Because with the way someone said their sexual preference, it doesn't make any sense, right? But that we're going to somewhere that – now, I do think the pendulum swings pretty far one way. That's why even the Me Too movement, I don't think – that Bill Cosby is the same as Joe Biden. I don't think rape is the same as someone touching your shoulder. I don't think Bill Peters is the same, as barbaric as Michel Therrien was, until I hear that he's a racist. I don't really believe. He never said anything racist to me. He never, you know,
He was mean. Yeah.
So I didn't like that about him. But there were times, you know, I remember him calling me up after a couple games and, you know, cracking open a beer. I think with Michel Therrien, I really think it was a lack of self-confidence. When he played, he wasn't a tough guy. I think, you know, that it was tactic and it was a jerk. He was being a jerk. But it was a bit of tactic.
And are you happy to see that this is happening?
Yeah.
I'm happy,
if anybody goes through a tough time.
So that other players won't have to go through what you,
totally,
Druckin, and others went through.
I totally am, you know. I am. I think that it had to happen. I think it might go too far one way. For example, Daniel Carcillo coming out, and I know he's been through a rough time, and he lost, you know, Steve Montour was his good friend, and that's a whole thing with concussions, and he killed himself. But hazing, you know, most of, you know, because he's coming out on Twitter and he's saying a lot about hazing and everything else. The hazing, for the most part, happens in junior. In the NHL, you pay a rookie meal at the beginning of the year and you go somewhere, and it's a lot of fun, to be honest. But the hazing happens in junior mostly. And, you know, there's any number of things that can happen, but the coaches don't normally know about it. In my experience, none of the coaches knew anything about it.
So they need to clean up hockey even further down.
Well, yeah, but like, clean up, yeah, if you're talking hazing, but I'm just saying the coaches weren't the way it all got brought into it is that all these coaches, you know, were bad. And in junior is a league, Fred, that you got to move away from home and you got to live with, you have to live with a billet. And you know, for my case, we're in the United States. It feels like another planet. You know, I was out in Tri-Cities, Washington. That was 3 hours away from Seattle and an hour north, south of Spokane. I don't even know where it was. So you're ultimately homesick. I'm there and I don't – no one in town even knows – we're, you know, I'm telling them Newfoundland, and they think it's in Europe.
And like, the last thing you want to do as a kid then is speak out and become, you know, the kid who didn't want to be hazed.
Well, like, no, I'll tell you, like, where I was, you're right. But what I was going to say is, but hazing wasn't a hard time for me. So what I'm saying, these coaches that are in place are there to be the liaison between you and your parents when they're to the billets, and they help. Like my coach Bob Laux, I mean, he was fairly hard on us. I remember getting back from Seattle at 3 or 4 in the morning, and he made us put on our gear and go out and practice. And he bag skated us for like an hour and a half because we didn't play well. That was a little over the top. But I remember calling Bob, like, you know, I don't know, 2 or 3 times a month. Bob, I'm homesick. He used to off. We had a fans that used to donate money, and if someone really was bad off, I remember him flying in my parents. You know, it's not easy a lot of the time. And most of these coaches, 95% of them, were there to help even then. So I want to make that clear to people. Okay. I really do. That I think that what's happening is that it should happen, but the pendulum swung that way, and now I think it's going to come back to the middle. But, yes, I agree that this should happen, and those people that were abused, my goodness, of course, speak up.
I have an unrelated question for you, Terry Ryan. For all the non-hockey fans who are listening, when I had the luxury of interviewing Aquaman himself, Jason Momoa, he said that you and him were friends. Have you heard from him? When's he coming back?
Here and there. Well, he's just so busy. Speaking of hockey, he's in Pittsburgh, or he was a couple weeks ago, and I became real good friends with his stuntman, Kim Fardy, and they're great, great people. So every once in a while, I can't believe it, but he called and said, I want tickets to the Pittsburgh game. I'm like, what? Just walk in. You're Jason Momoa.
You're Aquaman.
Yeah, but Aaron Astrom, anyway, speaking of Aaron Astrom, good buddy. Actually, at the end of his career, came over here and played for the Gander Flyers. Probably my best friend in hockey. Aaron hooked him up with tickets. And, Jason's first time skating was here in town at St. Bond's Forum. He liked hockey. He played roller hockey. But, you know, he had read my book, and we became friends, and I took him out on the ice. And that's
he told me there
story.
Was a beef between the two of you that, like, you're going to beat each other up or something? I don't know.
We had a bet one night over a few beers. We had a bet, and I said, you know, you're going to take me out. Because I would do stunts with him, and there's a few times in Frontier, for example, season 2, episode 5.
You acted in that, by the way.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so Frontier. The very first scene of Frontier is me getting my throat slit by Jason Momoa. Spoiler alert. Anybody hasn't seen it, but and he kind of helped with that, get me in that project, and I spoke on screen, that got me into the acting union. He got me a few stunts, and in season 2, episode 5, he wanted to have a hockey fight. So you'll notice there's a British soldier right before a big explosion, and he pulls my jersey over and he starts giving it to me, and my musket goes. He would do things like that. He really helped me out, by the way, and Jason really stepped in. He's the reason I got into the acting union. I still do some stunts. I was in Hudson and Rex last night. All this was because of Jason Momoa. So I want to make that clear. He's a great guy. But yes, we had beers one night, and I said, you know, off the ice, you're going to slaughter me. But I said, on the ice, I got the balance. And I said, you know, it's all about balance, and I can shake you. Now, we did end up doing it. We ended up going to St. Bond's, and Jason doesn't like screwing around either. Like, even those stunts, he would, like, really come close, or he would really hit. So he used to, like, make sure that you got in a position of being able to take the punch. But a lot of, you know, some stunts you miss completely. But with Jason, he liked hitting. It was just great news for me. But anyway, we went to St. Bond's, and the thing is, I shook him around a little bit. And usually, because, you know, someone just starting, you know, I don't care how big they are, if you can get balance. But yeah, man, he hit me with a couple of doozies. And then, no joke, later in that skate, Peter Blackie and Rob Blackie were there from Republic of Doyle and Frontier. Yeah. And he just kind of, his mom was there. Jason's mom travels everywhere with him. And she came over by the boards of St. Bond's. Now, you know.
Hockey mom.
Yeah.
And he went over and he kind of skated, and he jumped up to hit the glass and scare her. And the glass popped out, Fred. And you know, in St. Bond's, like, you're going towards the door. So, and it flew towards the wall, and it smashed off the wall. That's Jason Momoa. I've never seen the strength, and I've met professional wrestlers. There's big people. There's big, right? And there's strong people. But this big and this strong, and again, you know.
He's a total package. Bring him back.
He's a total package.
That's
he's
all
a
I'm
great
saying.
Fella.
Just bring him back to Newfoundland and Labrador for me, would you? Can you do that?
It'll happen within the next year. Stay tuned, because I'll drop it on my Instagram.
Terry Ryan, thanks for coming in today. Your perspective on this and, of course, the NHL Code of Conduct. Appreciate it. Good luck.